This podcast of Out to Lunch is made possible by FSC Interactive, an online marketing agency specializing in social media, paid search, and search engine optimization. FSC Focused Smart Communications empowers customers to take control of their online brands. More at fscinteractive.com. Smart is their middle name.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937, now with more than 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. Online at joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank, Resource Management LLC, Luba Workers Comp, and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricciuti. Peter Ricciuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricciuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. Common sense is difficult to define. In business, people with unique and quirky ideas can run into a lot of negativity based on common sense. A few years ago, it was the stupid idea of putting a camera in a phone. Common sense said it would never work. People who want to make a phone call don't want to buy a camera. Then there was the idiot idea of fancy coffee. Who's going to pay $5 for something with a stupid name like Frappuccino? How about the guys who decided that at a time when newspapers are going under all over the country, when New Orleans' one remaining paper couldn't get enough advertising to sustain itself, they're going to launch a brand new daily newspaper in New Orleans. That newspaper is The Advocate. Its editor is Peter Kovacs. Peter, welcome out to lunch.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
Now, opening a business is unimaginably difficult. Most people do it once, maybe twice in a lifetime. Colin Grusing is doing it once a week. Colin's company, 52 Businesses, is launching a new business every week for a year. It's not a gimmick. It's not a reality TV show. It's a real business model. Common sense has got to tell you that's crazy, right? Like the Frappuccino. Colin Grusing, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, Peter, we're all more or less familiar with how the New Orleans Advocate got started. Instead of declaring defeat due to declining ad revenue, the Times-Picayune decided to pitch itself as an exciting new model with a three-day-a-week paper and a website. Where others saw doom and the death of the daily paper nationwide, businessman John Georges saw an opportunity. He bought the Baton Rouge Advocate, hired a lot of talented folks the Times-Picayune discarded, and that would be including you, and started a whole new edition of the Advocate in New Orleans. So let's start with the obvious question. The Times-Picayune claimed there wasn't enough ad revenue to fund one newspaper in New Orleans. Is there enough revenue for two, or maybe more accurately, maybe one and a half? Is there enough out here?
Oh, yes, we think there is. And we think that the rumors of the death of the daily local newspaper have been exaggerated, and that there's still a good marketplace for it. Most of the owners of newspapers are not doing what they did with the Times-Picayune. Warren Buffett,
right,
who's a friend
example.
Of yours,
right.
is buying newspapers.
Yep.
The price of them is down, and so he's a guy who knows how to find a good investment. So we think it's a little premature to write the obituary of the daily newspaper.
Now, you've got a certain attitude that comes with trying to compete for the brand new paper. I went to your office once, and you've got a giant pirate flag hanging up there. Is that kind of the way you feel?
We do. We want to approach this with kind of a pirate mentality. You know, I think it's Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs. I think I read this there, that his line in the early days of Apple was that it's more fun to be a pirate than join the Navy. And so that's how we approach this.
And Peter, I just have to ask you, how do you define or measure success? Is it the growing subscription rate? Is it ad revenue? Is it the buzz about the paper? What is it?
Well, it's kind of all of the above, and we get so much positive reaction from the community, and I really go out in the community a lot and try to listen to readers, including when they're not happy. So we're growing. You know, the rest of this industry is shrinking, sometimes by 5-8% a year, and we're growing. We're growing in New Orleans, and we're growing in Acadiana, too, where we've also launched a separate newspaper.
So tell me that, because we might not understand that. Yeah. New Orleans. We've got the Baton Rouge Advocate, you've got the New Orleans Advocate, and
we have the Acadiana Advocate, which serves the Lafayette area. And for example, and each newspaper is, some elements of it are common, such as, for example, the comics and the puzzles, and some elements of it are remade. And so, for example, in this morning's editions of the newspaper, the Lafayette edition would have had more attention focused on their baseball team, and the Baton Rouge edition would have had more attention focused on LSU.
Colin, as I mentioned, you're doing what most business people do once or twice in a lifetime, but you're doing it once a week. So far, you've launched businesses as different as an apparel brand, a tourist app, and a company that writes personalized wedding vows.
Helps write wedding vows.
I'm feeling a little better about that now. I'm sure that every single person listening is thinking the same thing. So I have to start by asking, why? Why are you doing this? I assume, like most businesses, it's to make money, or is it?
It did start out that way. The model has changed a little bit. We always knew that we were going to start some of our own businesses and then transition into helping other people start businesses. We were so overwhelmed in even the first week with support and people coming to us. We had over 100 people submit ideas in the first week. We've kind of moved to helping other people start businesses more so than starting our own. We have a great team. There's three of us. We all have our specialties. And a lot of times everyone's got to do a little bit of everything because we don't have that much time to execute. And then, we call on outside experts and professionals and partners. That's where we really can provide value, is by bringing in experts. We don't claim to be experts in everything or anything, but we do know a lot of really smart people, and we help these entrepreneurs meet the right people and get the best advice. And then we really kind of run them through a boot camp and push them to to do what they've been meaning to do, but get more done than they thought they would do, particularly in a week.
Well, how do you, from the expression of those blues songs, keep the wheels on the bus? Are they?
We've had some problems with the bus, definitely.
Not physically, but monetarily. Is it? Do you charge anything?
No, we definitely don't charge anything. We don't want to take any equity. We're hoping we can continue to help businesses without taking any equity. Currently, we're just self-funding, and it's less expensive than you think. We definitely could use some help if there's anyone out there.
How about these experts that you tap into? Do they do it pro bono?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, no money changes hands ever. It's a great model. I mean, they get some exposure. They get to help build the community, and they might get like a long-term client out of it, like if it's a banker or a lawyer or an accountant.
And you have all those on the bus.
Yeah,
it is a
definitely,
heck of a
definitely.
Bus.
We've had some really much more important people than ourselves come on the bus, and it's always a little weird. They're looking around at first, but we have them sign the ceiling, and they usually end up having a great time.
Now, Peter, what do you tell people? What distinguishes the Advocate from the Picayune these days?
The starting thing that distinguishes it is that it comes every day. And really, if you think back to 2 years ago, around this time was when the owners of the Times-Picayune announced that they were going to stop being a daily newspaper. And really, the complaint with that could be summed up in one sentence, that people wanted a daily newspaper. They didn't want 3 days a week of newspaper. So I think that's the most distinguishing feature. We have, people in New Orleans didn't just want a daily newspaper, they wanted a daily newspaper that was familiar to them. And they didn't want a daily newspaper that was rooted in Baton Rouge. And so, we hired Stephanie Grace and James Gill and Nell Nolan, and the whole Advocate is full of familiar names, right, in New Orleans journalism. Our aim is that it be familiar to people in New Orleans, and based on the reaction, I think people are comfortable with it.
Now, Colin, do people a lot of times have the same idea?
No.
Really?
Hasn't happened yet. That's a good question. Surprisingly, I have not seen two of the same idea.
There's all these, wow.
And there's some wild and crazy stuff. And I'm not against, a lot of my businesses have been kind of wild and crazy stuff. So I'll hear anybody out for sure. But it does kind of, the biggest challenge with it really is to tell whether or not, is this person crazy or is this a visionary idea? And, we don't really have time to do that much research. So we kind of have to go end up going with our gut. And I think probably a few people have been put in the crazy category who perhaps might have been visionaries. So if you're out there listening, feel free to
reach back out. I remember 40 years ago when Steve Jobs came onto your bus and you thought that was ridiculous. And Peter, I'm going to take advantage of you here because you're a journalist. If you, as a journalist, what question would you ask Colin?
The first question, you know, business writers, and you deal with business writers, always when someone tells you they're going to start a new business, they want to know what their financing is and how does that part of it work. And often, in terms of judging the newsworthiness of something, you're trying to decide whether the person who's pitching you on a story actually has the money to do the thing they're pitching on. So how would that, how does that work?
The return on investment really is amazing. I mean, we can operate on next to nothing. Jason and I are pretty comfortable not getting paid for the time being. We don't really spend money on rent or any overhead at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could get to pull together $80,000 a year, we could help 52 new businesses launch in New Orleans. We have one great sponsor so far, Kerry Kirby at 365 Connect. Great guy. He's always there to help out a new business or someone who's trying to help new business. He's been absolutely great. And yes, we are definitely looking for more sponsors. And you know, our market, our audience, our demographic is very desirable. It's people who are wanting to start their own business. So anyone who's in business services could really benefit from
A bank, investment firm. Now, this is the part of the show where we call the checklist, and it's the part where we take a break and ask you each a quick question that you probably wouldn't find on a loan application. So let's see. Now, Colin, I'm just going to start with you. It's particularly appropriate with what you were just saying. When you were a child, were you in leadership or entrepreneurial ventures?
Definitely not leadership at all. didn't make any sense to me, like student government or anything, because you didn't do anything. But definitely entrepreneurial. Definitely entrepreneurial. I mean, I've sold everything. One of the first was mulberries out of the backyard. We sold pecans. I sold CDs. There was this ridiculous deal. You could get 12 CDs for 99 cents. Remember this, BMG or something?
Yes. Right.
So I got 12 CDs and I sold them at school and then I had to buy six more, but I definitely ended up netting a profit.
That's where you learn the term markup.
Sold concert tickets when that was still a viable business and probably a couple other things. But definitely. My parents are both entrepreneurs. They have one small business, really, but it's pretty entrepreneurial. They make jewelry from recycled metal and sell it all over the country. So they certainly were more in that kind of path than
you know, the corporate.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty great. And you're not done yet. So this, And Peter, this question actually came from somebody here at Commanders, and can tell everybody wants to talk to you and get these.
Okay. All right.
It said if you came back to the show in 3 years, how would things be different?
Well, I think if I came back to the show in 3 years, we would have more subscriptions. We probably would be. You know, we're the biggest daily newspaper in Louisiana. We probably would be the biggest newspaper in Louisiana by that point. I think we would get more, we and everyone else would get more of the revenue from, you know, non-newsprint products. You know, the great mystery in our business is, you know, trying to figure out the winning formula for getting revenue out of the next generation of products. And so I think we would be getting more of our revenue from that. I don't know whether it would be from, you know, advertising or subscriptions or memberships online, which is the new trend in our industry. But I think in some way we would be getting more money from that.
And Peter, what are some of the models that newspapers are using? The New York Times, they have kind of an interesting model.
The New York Times model the entire newspaper industry, with a couple of exceptions, the Wall Street Journal and, interestingly, the Arkansas Democrat, when the internet, at first their reaction to the internet was to put the content on there for free. And that's what most companies do. We do that. NOLA does that. And that made sense a lot in the beginning because you really needed, at the time when online habits were being formed, you really needed to be the dominant vehicle in your community. If you weren't the dominant vehicle, you had a problem. And so that made sense in the beginning, but increasingly you're giving away what you sell, and so that's not a model that'll take you forever. The New York Times has gone to a subscription model, and very cleverly, and their technology works very well, is another thing. And the Wall Street Journal always had that model, and increasingly, you know, Gannett, which owns 80-something newspapers, has gone to that model. You know, we haven't done that yet, but and maybe we will at some point. You know, the owners of the Times-Picayune are sailing their boat in kind of the opposite direction of the rest of the business. The rest of the business is trying to figure out how to charge customers for this content. And they have a different theory, and they're smart people. You know, time will tell whose theory is right.
And when you get together at a conference of newspaper people, this is probably the number one conversation, right?
I find that people stop me and ask me what's going on. There's a lot of interest in what's going on in New Orleans. A similar thing, by the way, is going on in Los Angeles, where the Orange County Register is trying to publish an edition for Los Angeles. The circumstances are a little different because the LA Times, which is a great newspaper, is still a daily newspaper, and so there isn't. They believe that there are people in that market who want a different daily newspaper, but it would be easier for them if they were competing against a three-day-a-week newspaper than competing against an entrenched daily newspaper.
Yeah, I could. Now, down the road, do you think you'll have an advocate in like Monroe, Shreveport, Alexandria?
We've been asked that, and the limits on the footprint of this business model are the ability for you to deliver a paper at more or less sunup that has an LSU night football game or Saints night football game in it. And if you can't, and you probably can't do that in Monroe unless you fly it up there. But that really is as far as you can get from your printing press, is as far as you can bring the paper and get it delivered.
So unless you want to predict how the fourth quarter goes, you might have
to be restricted. That would be a mistake. And we just had this weekend of baseball games, which had rain, and they were very. and baseball is much more unpredictable than football.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. Well, let's check our inbox. That's where our producer picks a question that's come in over the past week from a listener. Grant, what have you got?
Peter, we've got a lot of questions for Colin on our Facebook page. Some really interesting ones. I've chosen this one from Haley Crum, who says, since this conversation is about defying business common sense and just going for it, what is a tipping point for just going for it? In other words, when should you just go for it, and when should you actually listen to common sense?
So my answer is to always, in almost all cases, just go for it, but be very careful about how you go for it. Be strategic, and that's what we try to show. And that's what the 1 week thing is about, is to show people how to responsibly test a business idea. So going for it doesn't mean quitting your job. It doesn't mean putting your life savings or your kids' college on the line. What it does mean is put a small version of your product out there, put a first iteration out there, talk to as many customers as possible, then decide if it makes sense to take the next step. That's what we mean by going for it, not put everything on the line.
Yeah. Peter, here's a question for you. It's an interesting question, kind of about mass media consumption, from Christine Alba, who says, people will believe much of what they read, and they also make or break businesses with their dollars. Who really has more power, the herd or the shepherd?
When I started in this business 30 years ago, the power of the media was much greater. The power of the titans of the media was much greater than it is today, because they controlled the flow of information. And as H.L. Mencken said, you know, freedom of the press is open, available to anyone who owns one, or something like that. And they controlled the flow of information. And so, you know, what the media decided was the information you deserve to know is what you knew. And a spectacular, I've always thought, example of that was, was the fact that John Kennedy was having affairs and everybody knew it, and mostly he was covered by men who were probably also having affairs, and so they all decided that none of that needed to be known. And, you know, now by contrast, you know, the public, the media is much more democratized, and I mean with a lowercase d, and the public has much more control. You know, they can comment online on your articles, they can critique them and tell you what's wrong or what you left out. You know, I don't think you would have an environment where a president having affairs would be kept secret, and indeed in the case of Bill Clinton, you know, it wasn't. So much more the herd is in control.
What an amazing show. We've gone from buses to affairs. That's a, you know, Peter Kovacs, Colin Grusing, even in a city that's attracting more entrepreneurial businesses than almost any other city in the country, you two stand out. Peter, the New Orleans Advocate, is wading into deep water, going totally against the tide. Colin, 52 businesses sounds outrageously crazy, but in a matter of weeks, we'll know if it was just crazy enough to work. Peter, Colin, thank you both for joining me on Out to Lunch today.
Thank you. Oh, well, thank you for having us. This is, by the way, a great deal. We're in beautiful Commander's Palace, and we're eating. And if we don't like your questions, we can't leave because the food's too good.
Absolutely. That is a big draw, isn't it? Yeah. My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Peter Kovacs, editor of The Advocate, and Colin Grusing, the co-founder of 52 Businesses. You can find out more about Peter's paper and Colin's commerce, that's a very good alliteration, by following the links on our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. On today's show, our researcher has been Chris Keough. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can get this show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Support for Out to Lunch comes from PreSonus Audio Electronics. Information about Baton Rouge-based PreSonus is online at PreSonus.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting and WWNO for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I look forward to meeting you again next week for Out to Lunch around the table here at Commander's Palace. Till then, be well, be safe, be happy. Bye-bye.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, online at joneswalker.com. Additional support provided by Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank, Resource Management, LLC, Luba Workers' Comp, and 30 North Investments.